Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Hello and welcome to the Crystal Palace Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and of course the guys from the Back of the Nest podcast. It is James Howard and Mitch Thomas. And we've got to start, gents, with some quite frustrating news. We'd heard all of these glorious plans for the redevelopment of Selhurst Park. We can already hear the sighs because it's not going to be happening in the foreseeable future.
No, it's just the same every season, isn't it? We're hoping that this money's been put aside, and it apparently has, and then we've got problems with what we're going to do. We're going to develop the stadium, but now we've got problems with the Croydon Council agreeing to certain issues around the planning. I believe I've just had a Chris, who's one of our own guys here, who's just suggested it's got more to do with the infrastructure on public transport that Crystal Palace have to get involved in and support. So that could cost a little bit of money to prepare.
So is that because we're hearing that the potential redevelopment would increase the capacity of Selhurst Park from 26,000 to more than 34,000? Obviously, more people through the door means more people on the tube, on the trams, on the overgrounds, and the infrastructure has to be there. Mitch, you're not looking convinced.
I'm going to be radical here. It's good news to me. I think we should move back to the National Stadium. The longer it goes on, the better. I just think I don't like Selhurst Park, to be honest. I think we should go back to where we started. Share the stadium, the National Stadium, with Sport England. Put in underground infrastructure through from Victoria right through to Croydon. That will get round the problem of moving people around London to get to the stadium. If they put an underground station underneath the sports centre, teams from Northern England and everywhere else can get there reasonably quickly. From Southern England, they can get to Croydon. I'm not bothered. One bit in the slightest.
I think that's a good point, Mitch, but they have looked into that situation a few years ago, and I know there was a possibility of ground sharing or Tottenham paying for the
Tottenham
before they went for their stadium. But I believe that there was too many bureaucrats.
Well, we're hitting the same bureaucratic problem where they're actually quibbling about what Palace are going to give to the community and what sort of commitment they're going to have and so on. If they can share the stadium with Sport England and actually have an all-purpose sports facility there that the public can use as well as the football club, to me it's the same problem. All right, I know Bromley are quibbling about the moving back to the National Stadium, but Croydon aren't really making it any easier, are they? It's the same problem. So, I don't know.
It is a difficult one. It's difficult. And I know personally because my daughter swims and she swims for Bromley and Crystal Palace, the National Sports Stadium, which Mitch is obviously talking about, they are losing a lot of money every
year. Thank you very much.
And they are worried about it. And it just seems that, well, why not get the two councils together and just say, look, hold on a second, but this is losing money. It's an old stadium, needs to be developed. We've got a great football team in the Premier League. Let's all get together and get this to work. But unfortunately, it just doesn't happen. It's just sort of a stalemate, really.
Well, one big reason why those plans that were announced in January 2011 to move back to the National Sports Centre haven't quite worked is because of opposition from local residents. If people who are living around the ground aren't up for it, is it ever really going to work?
Well, it's really difficult. Liverpool had the same problem rebuilding one of their stands, and they had to wait, I believe, until the last couple of residents moved, and it just took forever for them to do it, and that was just one stand. I don't know. I think if it's something as important as this, you know, where you've got a football stadium and a national athletic stadium with all the facilities that go with it, surely, you know, there's got to be a way where we can
consolidate.
and convince people that this is going to be good for the economy. It's going to be good for the community. Yeah, we can heavily invest in transport links. We've got a Crystal Palace club actually playing in Crystal Palace, which is nice, what you said, Mitch.
Yeah.
And after everyone that knows Crystal Palace, there is massive scope. There's a good car park there. There's a train station right on site.
Bus terminus.
It's a shame. I just find it a shame. And yeah, you're right. The longer it seems to stall at Selhurst, I wonder whether this is going to crop up again, really.
Mitch, you're obviously not keen on Selhurst Park as a home. You would advocate a return to that National Sports Centre. For you, if and when this redevelopment of Selhurst Park does take place, would that be bad news? Because it would make it seem almost definite that the club will be there for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I wouldn't say bad. It's just probably quite inevitable for the reasons we've discussed without sort of chewing over it too much. That's my preference at the end of the day. But if it's Selhurst Park redeveloped, then we redevelop Selhurst Park.
What's the broader view amongst the fans? Because, of course, Palace have a reputation for creating sensational atmospheres, for being a great fan base. But how does that fan base view Selhurst Park?
I think that, you know, whether it's Selhurst Park or Crystal Palace, as in the National Stadium, it's in the area. I don't think the fans are keen on having a stadium which is out of town. And to be quite honest with you, I don't know where they'd find somewhere. It would be quite a long way out of town if we did find a space to do that. Do you know what? I'll tell you something. From an opposition fan's point of view, I've had a lot of fans that have come up to me and said, you know what, we really like Crystal Palace because it's a proper old-fashioned stadium, good atmosphere. It's got, you know, residential housing around three sides of the stands. It's got, everyone sort of, you know, they've got enough stations and they like it. And maybe developing the stand is going to be the way it's going to go, and but there will be a limit. You know, we extend to 35,000, but then
what's
next?
The point? All that money just for what? Another 6,000-8,000 capacity?
It's a difficult one, but going back to the original point is it keeps stalling, and you know we're supposed to have had the money that's earmarked for it, which is questionably is probably still there and available. But, you know, when is it actually going to happen? Is it going to happen? Frankly, I find it quite embarrassing going into Crystal Palace ground sometimes because, you know, I watch in the Arthur Waite stand and it's an old stand. And the main stand is old as well, you know, where the directors are. And it's
older, mate.
If we're going to stay in the Premiership, and now we know we're going to do it here, we've got a five-year review going on here because we've been in the Premier League for 5 years. But we've still got two stands that are very, very dated. And the seating, you know, the seating's terrible, isn't it? I mean, there's not much legroom.
But isn't that precisely an argument for redevelopment, where if actually the club are going to stay there, then you can sort things out like legroom, like the comfort of the chairs, not just the capacity?
Yeah, good idea to fill in the corners as well. That'd be great. Blooming heck. If that's our only option, then that's what we got to do.
Well, it's got to happen. But I think once you start going down that road, then there's going to be the other stand that needs to be developed, the corners, as you say. I could see Mitch's point why he's not happy about developing Selhurst Park, but if there's no other option, what else can you do?
And the White Horse End, I mean, I remember going there when it was standing, and when you've seen the stadium when it's got like 50,000 in it, like in 89 or whenever, and before 48,000 for FA Cup games against Chelsea and whatnot back in the early 70s, this going from 26 to 34,000, what a waste of time. Sorry, I'm just not impressed.
Well, they say that it's going to cost 100 million, but it's going
for 8,000 extra fans.
But what you find is that a lot of the places are going to be going to corporate hospitality, and that's where the income comes from these days. The prawn sandwich brigade, mate. That's where the money
is. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Make do amend.
Perhaps solution. not a massive amount of positivity about a potential Selhurst Park redevelopment here on the Crystal Palace Fan Show. I suspect it's one that's going to run and run. It's a consistent talking point. And one thing that has been consistent, at least for the past 5 years, is Premier League football at Selhurst Park. Coming up, it's time to review of that period since the last promotion. Where are the highs? Where were the lows?
This is Love Sport.
It's the Crystal Palace Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio, and it is that time in the show where we turn our attention to potential Palace transfers. We're going to have to start with a potential exit from Selhurst Park. We're seeing links between Andros Townsend and Leicester. There's suggestions of a £14 million fee, but surely he would cost more than that.
I would have hoped that it'd cost more than that. I don't think we'd sell him, and unless it's somewhere close to 20 or 25 million.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did see some reports in the media that suggested that we were looking at 25 if we were to sell him. But I also saw some tweets of from Leicester fans, and they're not impressed at all. They're saying, look, all this money we got from Mahrez, we're going to get Townsend. They think he's inconsistent. That was their comments. They just think, no, yeah, he can play well, exceptionally well on his day.
Scores the odd wonder goal.
Too inconsistent.
Yeah, goal of the season.
So, yeah, well, but the thing is, what did Mahrez go for? Was it 70 million?
66, I think.
Yeah. So, you know, if you want a consistent player like Mahrez,
spend the money.
Or if Townsend is going to play like Mahrez every week, then Leicester, but you've got to pay 60, 70 million.
In terms of Palace turning around and signing players of their own, and I think, by the way, we have to be honest that 60 or 70 million for Andros Townsend is a farcical amount of money.
Absolutely.
And you know that it's farcical. And
he's worth that to us.
Even in the scale of Palace thinking that Zaha's 100 mil, come on, not on Townsend. I think there is a point there about the £14 million fee where we are actually at a point with the homegrown rules and so on that basically if a player is English, counts as homegrown and is an England international, £15 million is your starting point.
We start
from there and we move forward. Yes. But I think 25 is probably fair.
Might be top end a bit. You know,
we don't need to sell him. So, you know, we can say, look, you know, we're not going to sell him unless you're going to pay us 25 million. It's a bit like Luka Milivojevic, really. It's one of those where, yeah, you know, there is a price, but you're going to need to. But I think 14 million is far too low for someone of an England international.
Absolutely.
And also, it comes back to my point earlier, he's one of the players we should be building the squad and the team around.
So hold on to him whatever you can.
Absolutely.
You know what? He was inconsistent. I'll give that to the Leicester fans. But this season, I think people were saying that they were potentially his second or even third choice of player of the season.
Mm.
So if people are saying that, obviously they've observed him and thought, you know what? He's been much more consistent. And I would have said, personally, I probably would have gone, Aaron Bazaka, Will Zaha, and possibly Townsend third, because he has been consistent and he's done really well.
Let's have a think as well about who the club could get in, and I want to begin this conversation by asking, should Palace invest and spend a fair bit of money on a couple of players? Do you trust the recruitment team? Do you look at the signings, for example Alexander Sorloth, and think, yeah, if we spend a lot of money, that money is going to go in the right places?
I think the people behind the recruitment have possibly been moved on. So I'd hope so. I don't know. But I would like to think that we would be a lot more careful now going out and spending money on players, especially from abroad. Right. Because, and I'll say this all the time, but not only are you buying a player that you probably haven't really observed in your own country, because I feel it takes a player wherever they come from outside of England a season to get used to things.
I think you've got to look at Milivojevic. Yeah, he was captain of Olympiacos, was it?
Yeah,
that we got him from. I mean, if they're from an established team in Europe that play consistently in Europe that you can observe, I think we've done well with Milivojevic. Okay, you can talk about Sorloth. That's the other side of the coin. there are going to be a few hits and misses, but I think as long as we're looking at players in established league teams, in teams that probably regularly play in Europe, where you are getting a chance to observe these players, I don't think we're going to go too madly wrong.
No, that was a good... Obviously, that was a very good buy.
Yes.
And there was another player before him, Milaj Jedinak.
Yes.
Who also was a particularly good buy.
Yes.
But both those players arguably took a season to bed in. I remember Luka's first season, and he didn't... Yeah. He wasn't consistent. He wasn't playing every week.
Right.
And I do remember a few misplaced passes and a little bit of slips here and there. And I thought, you know, but it took him. And to be he's a regular now, consistent,
yes,
last season or so.
Does that mean Max Meyer will come good?
Well, I've said that. I think he will next season. I'm hoping he will. Yeah.
And he could be our...
I'm hoping he would be our creative midfielder that you say we need.
Yeah.
Because he has got the skill and the pedigree that we need to open up and unlock defences at home.
Yes.
In terms of other players who are being linked with a move to the club, let me throw some names at you. Jack Butland of Stoke City and, of course, England. You'd have him, surely?
Yes, now that
Speroni's
left our shores. Yeah, that again, that enhances the squad. He's a pedigree player. I've got no problem with that.
Adrian, as an alternative, just released by West Ham, coming in as a backup.
No.
Why not?
Because Jack Butland's better.
Okay, but if we accept that Adrian will be a free and Jack Butland would be 15, 20 million quid
still
at
Jack
least.
Butland.
Still Jack Butland.
Still Jack Butland.
And would you envision him
He's
coming
British
in
player
as
well.
First choice?
I think if you're spending that sort of money... You
Possibly,
can't put someone
I'm
on the bench.
Sure.
I think if you're going to get someone like Jack Butland, then you're probably looking at letting someone go. I think they would seriously be looking at letting maybe Hennessy go for a price.
Okay.
As long as he doesn't move to Germany, we'll be fine.
Germany will be fine,
They're being linked with a few more English talent. Jonjo Kenny, a highly rated young Everton fullback. He'd be coming in on loan. Also being linked with Reece James, the Chelsea youngster, who's been very impressive on loan at Wigan. I don't think James will go, because if Chelsea have this transfer ban, I think they'll be looking to use him. But on Jonjo Kenny, would he provide a bit of depth at fullback?
Well, we need someone at fullback, don't we? You know, we need cover there. We've struggled on, especially on the left side. I mean, you know, it's PVA does a job, but he's sometimes, you know, lacking, and I think he needs some good competition.
He does, but I think partly because of the tactics, I think he's targeted by other teams because they know Zaha plays wide on left and pushes up. I think teams are targeting him.
But clearly the club are looking at players that we can get in on loan because we can't afford to spend that much money. I think arguably there could be one big signing that we could go for over the summer, unless we were to sell somebody like Townsend or Luka Milivojevic for some decent money. I think there'll be one big signing, and then I think we will probably get a couple of loan players in and maybe a free transfer.
Talking of loans, Harry Wilson is being linked with a loan move from Liverpool. I think he'd be a fantastic signing. He looked really exciting at Derby, looked every bit the Premier League player. Right. He could add some depth out wide.
Possibly.
Yeah, we need... I mean, I'm really all for the younger players. I think that we shouldn't go into the market and pay top dollar for somebody that's...
Getting to be over the hill.
Yeah.
But there's a risk the other way, isn't there? So you're being linked with Jack Clark of Leeds. He's an 18-year-old winger. Spurs have been in for him as well. If reports are to be believed, Spurs have already had a £12 million bid rejected. He clearly must have something, but equally, he's played 22 games in the Championship. He's scored 2 goals. Can you afford to take that particular punt to the tune of 20-odd million? He's young, but is he ready?
I don't think we can.
No, I don't.
You know, based on what James has been saying, you know, that's going to dilute the big signing, isn't it? Whoever the big signing is.
Yeah.
Who are you thinking in terms of big signing?
What position?
Batshuayi?
Yeah, I mean, clearly we need to get
Chelsea, Batshuayi or a striker. They've got this transfer embargo holding. You know,
but Chelsea don't like Batshuayi. I think if Chelsea get that transfer ban, the striker who's going to be brought back into that fold is not going to be Batshuayi. I think it'll be Tammy Abraham. Because particularly if Sarri stays, Sarri is going to absolutely stick with Higuain as his number one because he's his man. If Giroud stays, which he will if there is the transfer ban, then he will be number two. He scored 11 goals in the Europa League. It's quite
hard to argue with.
Yeah. So I don't think they'll be looking to bring in a senior player. And if Palace were to say, listen, he's 25, 35 million quid, I think Batshuayi could go.
Yeah, so that could be our marquee signing.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, why not? Well, absolutely, because you know he's shown he knows what to do in front of the goal once he's got the supply. And yeah, I mean, obviously, first half of the season we were missing somebody that was putting the ball in the back of the net.
Right. If not Batshuayi, what about Llorente at Tottenham that they're going to release?
But that ties in with James's argument, doesn't it? He's 33, 34.
So, 2 years out of him?
Yeah.
Well, by the time you pay for
it, I'd rather invest in the youth or someone that's already been with us on as a loan player. I think we're risking it otherwise. And going back to sort of picking out these championship players and maybe paying 10, 20 million for them, they've only proved themselves in the championship. You know, why can't we start looking at other players from our academy?
Because that's a big argument. That Roy doesn't trust them.
Why not? Aaron Wan-Bissaka did fine.
That was a freak situation. They had no choice. They threw him in and it came good.
That youngster that played in the last game of the season, he came on. It's really good touches.
Yeah, but...
I think they need to start bedding in a few of
these guys. Yeah, but Bournemouth were on the beach, weren't they? We were on the beach. That last game, again, I think that's very misleading. The last game of the season, nobody's got anything to play for. Nice sunny Saturday, end of the season. Lovely jubbly, 5-3. Great. Everybody goes home happy. It wasn't... it wasn't real. We're deluding ourselves.
Well,
so forget that.
We've got to try these players, I think.
Yeah.
There's no point in having an academy otherwise.
Here's a name for your marquee signing. Alexander Mitrovic. He has been linked. He scored goals for Fulham, although he was at the bottom of the table in the Premier League for chances converted. So not perhaps clinical, but he does score goals.
You mean he was below Benteke?
He was below Benteke.
How?
How did that happen?
How?
I watched him closely in the World Cup and I wasn't particularly impressed. I didn't think he had a very bad
World Cup, I have to say. I actually had a disagreement with a Newcastle supporting friend because a lot of Newcastle fans love him.
Yes.
And he said, listen, any money, Mitrovic scores more than four. And I said, you watch... He is so inconsistent. In that game against Switzerland, he should have had five. And I was sitting there thinking, oh my God, I'm in trouble. No, not a chance. Can't finish. But he does actually score. He's not consistent in front of goal, but he was getting so many chances at Fulham. He would fit the wide men at Palace, and he does give you that robust forward option.
This is it. I think anybody that can play 30 games a season up front for us...
I don't know. Mitrovic sounds like another Benteke and another Andy Carroll. You need to feed them. And all they're going to do is they're going to hang around the penalty spot and they're going to want balls pumped into them because they're big, tall, hefty guys, the three of them. People have said, why don't we go for Andy Carroll? Not interested. Benteke?
No, absolutely
We're not playing that system. Roy doesn't play the wide players out that wide and crosses in all the time, so I don't think he'd be our type of player, to be honest with you. I think we need to really, really stick with Batshuayi if we can get him.
We can get him, that's the trouble.
It is a big if, and there could, by the way, be some bargains, not just in the striking department, but across the park. Coming up, let's have a look at some of Europe's hottest free agents and see if any of them might fit the bill.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Crystal Palace Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow, and James Howard and Mitch Thomas of Back of the Nest. And we're talking potential free transfers. Who could come in to Palace? Where is there a gap? Where could it be filled effectively but on the cheap? Of course, that consistent positional problem for the Eagles is up front. And I'm going to throw you a curveball, gents. Mario Balotelli.
No, please.
Yes or no?
Is he a free transfer?
He's been scoring goals for Marseille. He scored goals before that for Nice in Ligue 1. He's going to be available.
Yeah.
He's not the most straightforward character. Mitch is virtually growling at just the idea. Would you have him?
You're tempted, aren't you?
He scored a goal with his shoulder.
I actually like Mario Balotelli. Much maligned. Probably for good reasons. No.
Why not?
We don't need the grief.
Yeah, fair enough.
End off.
Don't need the fireworks. James, would you share that view?
Well, I would. Clearly, he is an exceptionally good player on his day.
On his day, exactly.
And for certain clubs, he's done particularly well, but he does have
a tendency to go into meltdown.
Terrible side to him, which will possibly poison the rest of the team.
Yeah.
Well, he does, but let's have a look at his last few seasons. So this year, important to note, he only played half of it because he only scored in half of it. Terrible for Nice in the first half. No goals in 10. Went to Marseille, got 8 in 12. The year before that, 18 in 28 for Nice. The year before that, 15 in 23. But if we go back further, 1 in 20 for Milan, 1 in 16 for Liverpool, 14 in 30 for Milan, 12 in 13 for Milan. Now, what those figures suggest to me is that if you get it right, if you manage him properly on and off the pitch and you can keep him happy, which I appreciate is clearly not straightforward, you would bag yourself a top goal scorer. The question is how on earth you can be expected to do that.
Yeah, I think that possibly one of the clubs that could do it is Crystal Palace, because we've got a manager that I think, you know, he's a senior statesman of Roy, and he'll put his arm around his shoulder.
He'll have a heart attack.
He may do, but then again, Mario might think twice about giving him grief because he knows he might have a heart attack. But also, we have a fantastic set of fans who, if you get a player that kicks it off, you know, straight away, he will be adored. And it could work really well, but it is particularly high risk.
It'll be love-hate.
Yeah, do you know what? I'm 50-50 about it, really. I wouldn't be my first choice for sure.
No.
But if we were so desperate and he was available, then I'd probably have a punt, yeah.
Well, another position where you perhaps need strengthening is, as we've established, in that creative midfield role. Whether or not Max Meyer comes good, an addition in there wouldn't go amiss. Let me throw you another talented footballer who has been playing in the French League, who does perhaps have a bit of an attitude problem.
Not another one.
Hatem Ben Arfa.
Ah, yeah.
He's been very good for Rennes. Yes. He was very good for Nice. He didn't play at all at PSG. When he can be bothered, he's fantastic. Let's not forget, this was a guy who, as a kid, tipped as the next Zidane, but he hasn't been consistent. He's one of football's nearly men. But again, if you can unlock that potential, he could really offer you something you don't have. He could operate off the right, cutting in onto his left foot. You could play him at 10, picking up those little pockets of space behind a Benteke. Is he worth the risk?
He was at Newcastle, wasn't he?
That's what
he
was thinking.
He scored that sensational goal against Bolton where he ran the entire team.
Oh, yeah, yes. I remember. He is a very good player. You're spot on there. And I do recall seeing him, and I know there were problems when he left England, went abroad. On talent, same as Balotelli, definitely would take him on. There's
he's
a free trial.
Less problematic than Balotelli as well off the pitch.
Yeah.
Not hard.
But how old is he now, do we know?
He's, what, if not 30, 31?
Yeah, so
he's twilight years.
He could be losing his pace a bit. I'm not
32
I'll
years,
be honest
so
with
Indian
you. I'll be honest
territory.
With you. I'm not that keen on players at that end, that age, to bring them in. To be honest,
but on
not,
a free,
not in that position.
One not in that deal. Position. No
legs.
I think I'd pass
I've
on that.
I've got concern about the legs.
Yeah,
but,
I'd pass on that one.
Well, if you want someone younger who can operate in that position and is a real personal favourite of mine, this is a player who I've watched for years playing in Portugal and just thought, why on earth are no English teams having a proper look at him? Yacine Brahimi, who is an Algerian winger /10 operating for Porto. He's been a key member of that team for years. He's going to be available on a free.
And how old is he now?
He's 29. Wolves are interested. Everton are interested. West Ham are interested.
No wonder.
This is a guy who's played Champions League football. I remember watching him play against Arsenal, 10 years ago, and just thinking, you are spectacular.
I think I'm a lot happier with that for the reasons I was discussing before, that he's
who's
been
letting
observed.
Him go then?
Porto.
And what?
He's played Champions League.
Yeah.
He's proven in the top leagues.
Winger.
Yeah, well, or 10.
Could be like a Lombardo.
Remember him? Yeah. There are a lot of 10s knocking around. Alan Jagoyev, who of course rose to prominence, 10 years ago in the Euros as a star for Russia. He's available.
Do we need do we want wingers?
Well, these are all people who could play as a winger or could play as a 10.
Yeah.
Juan Mata.
I don't think he'll come to us, to be honest.
Sami Nasri.
No. Mata, yes. Nasri, no.
Iron Robin as a last one.
No. He's getting on a bit now, isn't he?
He's a winger. No, he's not a 10.
All right, I'll offer you a real finale of a striker. I'll offer you two. They're both called Danny. Sturridge and Welbeck.
No.
Well, that was easy. Cool. Coming up, Wilfred Zaha. I'm asking again, is he staying?
This is Love Sport.
You are listening to the Crystal Palace Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow, and the guys from Back of the Nest. And we keep talking about him. It's Wilfred Zaha. Is he staying? Is he going? I know, James, you're of the opinion that he wouldn't go to Arsenal because they're not playing Champions League football next year. Let me put my cards on the table and say that I think that that's total nonsense.
What, you think they are going to be playing Champions League football?
No, I'm willing to admit that they won't be. But I think they would still represent quite an appealing prospect for Zaha.
Why?
Yeah, exactly.
Because they would give him a pay rise. He'd be playing Europa League. He was an Arsenal fan as a lad. He'd be playing in a team with better players around him.
No? Really?
Yes, come on. Fifth in the table as against 13th.
Look, he's already on X amount of millions, yeah?
Yeah.
Per year. So
that doesn't mean he won't want more.
Yeah, he wants to stay in London.
He doesn't need any more money. He's loved at Palace. I think that that's why I say if you're in the Champions League, maybe, but you're not. And I think, unfortunately, you've missed the boat.
He missed the boat with Arsenal. He should have gone to Arsenal instead of Manchester United when he originally went, when Wenger was there.
And he'd have got the chance.
Yes,
got more patience.
And he would have got more game time and he would have been developed more. I think Arsenal in transition, I don't think it's a good time for him to go to Arsenal.
Do you see him going anywhere?
Yeah. Chelsea, if they sell Hazard.
And if they're not
banned. Automatic replacement, and if they're not banned.
Do you think he's good enough to step into Hazard's
Absolutely.
Shoes? Straight away?
Yes.
31 goal contributions last year for the Belgian.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, I would actually say he's a better dribbler than Hazard. And I know that's a lot
a
to say.
Shout.
I know it's a shout, but I actually absolutely believe in him.
Do you subscribe to that, James?
I think that Zaha brings to the table different things that Hazard does, and yeah, I think you can say that they're both up there and both really, really good players. Hazard, you see, the thing is, you say, yeah, Hazard scored, you know, X amount of goals more than Zaha, but Hazard is supposedly in a better team, surrounded by better quality
exactly.
players. If you put Zaha in a team which is he's surrounded by better players, then, you know, quite clearly, Zaha could score 20 goals and double what he did this season. He will do things that Hazard doesn't, and Hazard does things that probably Zaha doesn't. And they are slightly different players. But I definitely think that he could replace Hazard. I think they're not going to get exactly the same type of player, but I certainly think that They
well, who's the closest fit in the league?
To who?
Anywhere. Who's the closest fit to Hazard as a replacement?
Well, I mean, if you looked at other teams who wouldn't sell to Chelsea, you could say the likes of Mane, Sane.
I think we're struggling. No. We're struggling with players that I can see where you're coming from with Hazard, but I don't know. He's not going to. What's Hazard goes? They're talking about what 130 million.
I think it'll be nearer the 100 mark because bear in mind his contract expires in a year.
Yeah. So if he goes, I mean, I don't think you. I'm not so sure that. I think for Mitch's argument to be right, I think we need to see. You would want to see Zaha playing for a team in the top five.
Yeah.
And say to you, yep, I told this time next year, you could say, I told you, James, Johnny, that he was as good as Hazard. I think at this point in time, we cannot confirm that. We think he is.
Yeah.
We think he's got the potential to get the ground running and do particularly well.
Do you think he's good enough at finishing? I mean, I'm close to taking your point about the dribbling, but to me, he just doesn't seem to be clinical enough. What do you reckon?
Yes. However, on the point that James made, when you're playing in a team with better players, you know, better movement, better passing, better opportunities for him created, I think, you know, he's going to score more. He's having to create his own goals in most cases.
I think he'll be more creative than possibly Hazard is.
You think? Yes. Sorry. Hang on a minute. You honestly believe that Wilfried Zaha is going to be more creative than Eden Hazard?
Well, as creative, at least.
I completely agree with you about scoring goals, and Hazard will score more goals than has done. But creative wise,
Hazard got the most assists in the Premier League.
But he's in a supposedly better team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you think if Zaha goes into this Chelsea team, we're looking at 16 assists.
Easily.
Easily?
Yeah.
Breaking 20?
Possibly.
So is this a case? Do you think then, as Palace fans, because I'm not so much disagreeing as genuinely impressed by the degree of faith you have in this guy. Do you and other Palace fans think that Zaha is someone who is criminally underrated by the rest of the Premier League? Because when I look at him, I see a very, very good player. I don't see a top
player. No, he's not underrated because you watch every game he plays, he has 2, 3, 4 players around him. They employ the cage around him. One thing I'd like to see him do a bit quicker is release the ball as they're applying the cage and take out 3 or 4 of the opposition team.
But he doesn't release the ball.
No, but there's reasons for that. Yeah, and that is because our players are not making the right runs for him.
Or they're losing possession like Benteke. He doesn't. Yes. The last game at home, I could see he didn't want to pass to Benteke because he knows they're going to lose the possession.
This is it.
So he's. I tell you what, yeah, Johnny.
And that's why James is right. If he get teams like Chelsea, Tottenham, Arsenal, Liverpool, Man City,
they look down on us and think that
given
because
game
it's
time,
Palace,
that's
he's
the
not
only
good
thing.
Enough.
He's got to go somewhere. He's going to get game time. If he doesn't get game time, then don't bother. He's wasting his time.
So the biggest question of all, then, whether or not he's going to get game time, whether it would be Arsenal, whether it would even be Chelsea. Do you think he's going anywhere?
50-50.
Are we talking millions? Or?
Unlikely. I think we'll have him for one more season.
One more year. And that, of course, leads us back to we started in Mitch's point that what Palace have to do at this crucial point in their development is build.
Hang on
to those key men for a year or two.
It's critical.
Be brave in this transfer window. It might mean Mario Balotelli. That might be more stupid than it is courageous. But either way, something has got to happen. And you will have to join us next week on the Crystal Palace Fan Show.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.